The NBA and NHL Bombs Game 5 Edition, Gentlemen Sweep Edition of the Bottom Line Bombs on the Sports Gaming Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play your fantasy pick 'em for a chance to win 100 times up in the NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today, underdogfantasy.com, using promo code BOMBS to get 100% deposit match. Now, we'll start a theme song. We'll get this going. It's Monday, April 29th. Bottom Line Bombs, Man in the Box. Let's do it. Yes, welcome to the Bottom Line Bombs. I am your host, CJ Sullivan, the man in the box, the bet detective, the laddie daddy. All the names that are click to fit back in the studio here live on Monday, April 29th. Is that right? Can that be right? Yeah, it is. It's, oh my God, April is just about done. They're always shocked when a month is over. Oh my Lord, we're almost in May. May, which means Kentucky Derby coming up this week. I will have a special Derby Days, Kentucky Derby episode, I believe on Thursday. I know last week I had a Friday episode. I missed around because I was traveling. I was on the road. I am back. Went to Milwaukee, went to Chicago, went to Winnipeg, Canada, and Manitoba. Bet Detective found some conspiracies up there that I'll talk about. Big show. There was an NFL draft this week, last weekend. We have NBA and NHL playoffs, game fours and fives coming up. Gentlemen sweeps, regular sweeps, and some series that are actually kind of good, I think. The ones we don't like. Anyway, we are back. We'll talk about everything that happened here. What is up, CJ? What is up, Channing Brown? Thanks. Welcome to the chat, buddy. Yes, let's get into it. There's so much to get into, so much to dive into with the show. The draft was during the weekend. I did give out Friday episode. I wanted to give the first round bombs. I talked all about that last episode. If you wanted to hear my thoughts on Michael Penix, they were not good. I like Michael Penix. It's just Atlanta was just dumb. Atlanta was dumb. You know what's fun? Atlanta was dumb for making the pick of Michael Penix. It doesn't matter if it works out. It doesn't matter if Kirk Cousins gets hurt and Penix is the best quarterback of all time. It doesn't matter. It does. That still makes it a bad pick. It doesn't. That's just not how the draft works. Okay? Then you got people like Dan Orlovsky on ESPN. And I'm like, hey, you know what? I slept on it. At first, my initial reaction was, you know, when I said what I believed. I like when people on ESPN learn what ESPN's about, and they have to be taught. Like, yes, it's not what you actually believe. That's not what matters here. It's what makes good content in TV, and that is people disagreeing with each other. So everyone thinks Michael Penix is a bad pick. We're going to need people to think that's a good pick. So that's going to be you, Dan Orlovsky. That's going to be your assignment. So then he came back the next day. He's like, yeah, you know what? After sleeping on it, I'm thinking I love this pick. Oh, yeah? Were you sleeping on it? Or did you wake up to a memo from your boss to say, hey, Dan, you like having a job? Well, this is your job now, being a liar. Don't forget you're a liar. Anyway, the draft itself, I won't get into that. I talked enough about that last episode, and it seems like old news. They had the whole weekend. Now everyone gets grades A through F. What are the draft day grades? So weird. Nowhere else do we do grades except for draft reports. I have to go back to thinking now, is a B good? A B is a good. D, F. I always wonder why I skipped E on the grading system. And there were some alternative schools that did E, and that we didn't like it. That'll make sense. A, of course, we all know what an A is. A plus. And then the pluses and minuses. The different numbers. I don't like that either. But there's a bit, of course, there's a huge difference between a B plus and a C minus. The plus and minuses always seem like the teacher's opinion almost. C minus. Like, you're still a C. You pass, but I could tell you didn't really know the answers you got correct. So it's a C minus. Yeah, you technically got a C. You got, you know, mid-range, mid-70s, but the ones you got right were guesses. I could tell. I could tell you're an idiot. B plus. There you go. You put a little effort in. I could tell you worked at it. Why do I know that? Because you're not smart. As your teacher, I know you're a dumb student, but I could tell you put some work in. You're not an A, obviously, because you're not talented. You're not smart. But I'll give you a B plus, even though you got B numbers. So I think the plus and minuses were just teachers being jerks. They are arbitrary, completely arbitrary. It's correct. Channing Brown says that about the grades itself. But it's just so funny that I'm just talking about grade school grades now, basically. So we skipped A, B, C, D, E, then we skipped E. So we can go to F for failure. You know? F is a failure. We want to make sure you know that F means flunk. You stink. E, too much positive connotation behind E. So we skip that. Anyway. The draft itself. Let's see. Hey, I gave out a good bomb. How about that Keon Coleman? If you listen to me for my day two bombs, I had him as the first receiver taken over McConkey and Donnie Mitchell. And he was first pick of day two, plus 330. So hit that bomb. Keon Coleman stole the press conference draft, stole the show with that interview afterwards. Classic. Draft day press conference interview. Keon Coleman, very funny, very charismatic, you know. If you haven't seen a clip, I should probably play it. But Buffalo reporter asked him, hey, what about your jacket? Where'd you get that jacket? You know, you're going to need a jacket, which is always what cold weather cities where media asks their draft picks because they're usually from Florida or California, the football players. And Keon Coleman went to Florida State. You know, he's from Florida, I imagine. If he's not, I'm sure he's from somewhere warm. Oh, you better get a jacket, buddy. Kind of jacket. You know, is that jacket going to work in Buffalo? And Keon Coleman, he was funny. He did a rant about how he buys his jackets at Macy's. He gets them in the summer because they're on sale. Very funny, very funny. But that, I don't even have to play to Keon Coleman. I like Keon Coleman. And he is funny. Good for him. Hope he does well in Buffalo. But that exchange summed up. That's why I forgive the Caitlin Clark situation a little more. The Indiana reporter, what was it, Bob Nightingale, whoever the fuck I was? I forget who it was. I should look it up. I shouldn't just be smearing names. Let me see. It was who the hell was it? Greg Doyle. I apologize. It was Greg Doyle, Indiana Star Sports columnist, who like you know goes, "Hey, Caitlin, here's the heart thing. Welcome to Indiana. Give me some heart." You know, he creeped him out. And they're like, "Men need to learn how to report on women. These sports reporters just don't know how to talk to kids." And these college kids and these draft picks and they love the welcoming to their city. Here, I'm welcoming you to my city, this fucking beat reporter for the Buffalo fucking news. I live out of my car. Welcome to Buffalo. You need a cold jacket. Hey, Caitlin, here's a heart. Let me tell you all the great places to get a fucking meatball parm. Yeah, it's okay. I'm set. I'm fine. I don't need your welcoming to the city, you creep. Anyway, good for Keon Coleman. The draft itself, I tuned out. I watched a little bit of day one. I was a little busy. I was on the road. And after that, pretty much just show me the draft tracker. I don't need to watch this. I don't need the reports on all of them. I don't need Adam Schefter screaming. How loud was Adam Schefter? He's got that Weasley face anyway. He's like, your management has told me, Jesus, you know you got a mic on, Schefter. I know it's a lot coming from me, who was very loud and been accused of being very loud. But calm the fuck down, Schefter. Just ease into it with the highlights. Ding, 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 ding. The pick is in. And then the pick wasn't in. That's what I hate about it. The pick is in. Din, 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 din. After this break. Come on. It's the 158th pick. Up next is to make the Houston Texans selection is Andre Johnson's cousin. What's up, Detroit? What's up? What's up, D? Here's Stump Mitchell's son to give the Arizona Cardinals pick. What up, Detroit? I know. The sob stories, as Captain Insano says. You could have wore out the NBA theme with everyone's bad news. I know. I mean, the sob stories of grandmothers. How many grandmothers did they get into? My Lord, they love it. Dreaming their whole life about this. I mean, I don't want to take any shine away from their moment. But I love when kids who are 19 say they dreamed their whole lives about this. How fucking long has your life been? Your dream life. More than half of your life was dreaming about being a fireman or some astronaut or some child, whatever. In the NFL, great. You're not supposed to have your childhood dreams. So now you make me upset. I don't like that you got him. You're listening to the Bottom Line Bombs, by the way, on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. But don't forget, the playoffs are here. So make sure to tune in all week to the NBA and Hockey Gambling Podcast for episodes to get you locked in for exciting playoff action. Plus, it's Derby Week on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Tune in as the guys get you ready for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. It's just quick SGPN family, friends of family, networks of family, plugging right there. I'll also be doing a Derby show, and I'll give you hockey and NBA playoffs. I'm giving you everything you need right here. Right here in loud. But first, I need to recap this draft. You know, another thing about the grading system, too. You know, so then I just watched the tracker, and every player's got their own grade and all that. It's so funny when you look at the strengths and weaknesses. They go over the top with the strengths and weaknesses and the overall things, and like it really is just a cattle call, or if you want to get deeper into it, a slave trade, which it basically is a slave trade, especially at the combine when they have them in their boxer shorts and they're pinching and pulling and prodding and writing down everything. And the things they write about, that fluid hips. He's got heavy hands. He's got short arms as weakness. He doesn't like football. He plays too high. His pad level's low. His feet are on the wrong side of his ankles. They face backwards. What? What are you talking about? Yeah, he doesn't. I'm going to think with Caleb Williams, where they had the Bears take him out to dinner to make sure to get along. You got to make sure to get along. Very important, the mood set. You don't make him get along if he's good at quarterback, then no one gives a shit. Randall Cunningham, no one. He was aloof, but then he won. Then he lost, then they didn't like him. That's what it turns out to be. But then he said the weirdest thing. He's got heavy hands. He's got fluid hips. What are you talking about? Are you talking about a horse? What are you? Kind of. They kind of are. Anyway. All right. Let's get on with the show here. That was the NFL draft. All the sob stories, you're right. Almost too much to do. Did I take that music off or no? Did they take the music off? Like I said. Whoever took the NBA thing away from me.
That is a disgusting act.
That's for sure. Anyway, Let me tell you about Underdog Fantasy here first before we get before I get into the NBA and NHL playoffs, which there's plenty to talk about there. Let me tell you a little bit about Underdog, because this is important. This is how the man in the box gets back in the game. The NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. It's the easiest place to play fantasy sports. You play pick 'em game. It's simple, selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of basketball or mix match across your other favorite sports. You can rip 100 times your money. It's a ton of fun. Underdog is available in 30 plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada, where I was just at. I'll put in a play in a second here. But first, let me tell you about. Make sure you sign up with the code BOMBS. That's important. Go to underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code BOMBS. That's my promo code. Help the man in the box out here. It'll double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code BOMBS. Higher or lower is the theme to do. And we, should I give you one? Should I fire up a underdog? I think I got soaked the other day. Let's see what we got there. Oh, we got a quick dime in there. Let me pull up an underdog for us. Whoa, geez, Louise. Here we go. We're going to. There we are. There it is. There's Underdog Fantasy. Let's scroll. We got a lot of game fours and fives tonight. We have Celtics Miami tonight. We have OKC New Orleans. We have Lakers Denver. Let's go to the fun stuff, huh? How about Tyler Hero? Higher than 20.5 points? Why not? How can he not? He's got to do something. The Heat can't be worse than they were last game. Let's go Tyler Hero. And let's go over to, we got to switch games. Let's go CJ McCollum. Higher than 19.5. People are really ripping on CJ McCollum. That's what I like to go with. I like to go with players that are people really hate upon. So that plays 3-1. There you go. No problem. We'll put that in there. Quick little 20 spot to win 60. We'll get out of there. All right. That's confirmed. There you go. So you know the bet detective, the man in the box, is putting his money where his mouth is. Right there. All right. And that's enough of that. Getting soaked. I'm losing money to entertaining new people. Now I got to really crank it up. Crank up some bombs. All right, let's get into that NBA bombs. And like I said, there are three games tonight, Monday night. Boston's 10.5 versus Miami. OKC -5, New Orleans. Lakers, Denver -7. Last night's games. See, this is the era of the actual sweep or gentleman sweep. That's what you have to, when you get to the game four, game five area, you have to determine, will this team have any heart whatsoever and care? Phoenix Suns, I wouldn't say they didn't care last night, although Bradley Beal certainly made a nice run at that. I mean, Booker and Durant played. The problem is they were just literally out, man. I'm wearing my Minnesota Timberwolves hat, by the way, and I'll get into that a little bit. Go T-Wolves. They look great. Anthony Edwards, pure dog. But they just had no size for him. Minnesota's just out, outmanned him. Although I thought the Suns were finally going to get it. But Bradley Beal, man, he does not give a shit. Then you get some of my favorite moments. There's a moment where he snubbed Frank Vogel's high five, and now they might fire Frank Vogel. What? They just signed him as a coach. 5 years, $30 million. Yeah, but Bradley Beal didn't high five him. He lost the players. See, that's the thing. These coaches don't motivate the fucking players. These players hate, not that they hate these coaches, they don't respect them. They make 10 times more money than them. You know what motivates these NBA players? Black Twitter. being humiliated, the TNT crew, all these guys, D'Angelo Russell and the Lakers, after losing game 3 to the Nuggets, they were humiliated. And it's all they did was get drug on Black Twitter with memes and all this shit, how they're making LeBron and AD carry the team and all that shit. And they bounced back. They bounced back game 4 because they had to save face. Now that's over with. Now it's game 5. Now it's time for the gentleman sweep, which, by the way, we gave out in our series bombs, Nuggets and 5 plus 265. I'm not saying that's coming home already, but it's coming home. Come on. The last thing these Lakers really want to do is continue this series on. Come on. Let's not be serious, LeBron. Even if you do come back all the way back and win in 7, which you won't, then you got to keep playing after that? Forget that. Serial says 2 more years for Kelsey. Jason on Monday Night Football, he should be added to the Manning cast. I know. And I mean, good Lord, with these Kelseys. Kansas City Chiefs, you think they would think the owner would pay up for that new stadium or the locker room at least? You know, instead of the bad locker room. So Travis can do his podcast during the halftime. I can't talk Kelseys. I don't want to talk Kelseys. Get these fucking Kelseys out of my playoffs. Phoenix Suns, I mean, good Lord, they were completely irrelevant. It was amazing. Kevin Durant, Booker, they're scoring 80 points and no one else is doing anything. Bradley Beal, he just has that Gilbert Arenas vibe on him. You can't shake that Wizards fucking stink off you. He's just a younger Arenas. How about Arenas' story? Did you hear Gilbert Arenas' story that came out? Because all they do now is they just can't wait to get to these, speaking of podcasts, the NBA podcasts, which are funny. They tell funny stories. And then they just get cranky about younger players and shit. But Gilbert Arenas told a story where he bought this girl. He proposed this girl and gave her a $400,000 engagement ring. And then they broke it off like a week later or something. And he's like, fuck, how am I going to get this ring back? So he decided to make it up with her, you know, the relationship, give the relationship another shot for like 3 months or so. He faked the relationship getting back together with her so that he could swap out the ring with a fake one. And he did. And she caught it and realized and tried to sue him and lost. But that's Gilbert Arenas. Gilbert Arenas is fun. At least he's funny, Bradley Beal. You can take a page out of Arenas' book, Bradley Beal, and be funny. Get some goddamn person. If you're going to waste our time, and that's all the Phoenix Suns did was waste our time out there. Anyway, they get swept. But let's get to the 2 games tonight. Oklahoma City, New Orleans Pelicans. Like I said, I already did Denver Lakers. Denver, we're going to get that series bomb. How about LeBron with that tantrum? And this is a game they won because they didn't challenge his play. He's just screaming at Darvin Ham. And meanwhile, the Nuggets are running a layup for 2 points. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Oh, cereal. I'll get to the Sixers. Don't you worry about it. Should we talk about the cereal tickets, about the cash? They are going to crash. We'll get to that. And on the other hand, those are tomorrow games. We got to Monday's games real quick. So Denver minus seven. The Lakers have been playing them pretty tough, I would say, but it's just like they did last year. But I think this year, this game, it'll be tough for a little while. Jamal Murray, not 100% healthy. I don't like that. But this just seems inevitable. Besides, it's in the thin air of Denver. And Anthony Davis, although he is playing great, they know the writing's on the wall. They got their home win. This is the gentleman sweep of all gentlemen sweep. We'll do Nuggets -7 tonight, bomb it, to fucking put these Lakers away. Besides, cereal, don't you see the T-Wolf hat? I'm Team Minnesota now, baby. The other one is the Pelicans and Thunder tonight. Now, this is what I'm talking about, the difference between motivation between coaching and Black Twitter, which really is, and I always said Black Twitter, which there is a documentary on Hulu coming out about that, by the way. They should get residual checks from the NBA. They drive the fucking league. The league would be nothing without them. They make the memes. They make the fucking video. They do everything. They're hilarious. And they push what it is. And the Pelicans, they've been getting buried by the Thunder. The first game was close. Games 2 and 3, they just got crushed. Game 3 was extremely, I mean, they lost by like 30. Now, the Thunder were hot, by the way. It wasn't just the fact that, you know, the Pelicans didn't care. They're also undermanned with Zion out. But then Charles Barkley had a hilarious rant where, you know, where they do a thing like when your NBA season's over, you go to Cabo, you know, and they were going fishing, the whole thing. And he said the Thunder, because they were so pathetic and didn't care, they're not even going to Cabo. They're going to Galveston, Texas. where it was always like a dollar store spring break house in Texas. And he went on a funny rant about how the water's dirty. You don't even get deserved Mexico or Cabo or whatever. You're going to fucking Texas. And it's been embarrassing. Beyonce's mom got involved. I mean, it became a national story. Trust me. This is the main story about how the Pelicans are going to Texas. That's what's funny. Not any of the matchups, not any of the things. It doesn't even matter. It's the embarrassment, humiliation of saying they don't belong in Cabo. Not even they don't belong in a court. They don't even belong in the right vacation spots. Now, they are without Zion. This is the gentleman's sweep of all gentlemen's sweep. The line is now 5. This line has moved huge because of how bad it looked and because of Barkley's comments. We're going to take New Orleans Pelicans +5 and on the money line +165 for the outright. I believe, I don't know why I do, but only because of the TNT Barkley motivation. When things don't look your way, they have to do it to save face just because they can't log online on Black Twitter anymore. If they get swept out and have to hear Galveston, Texas jokes for the rest of the offseason. That's the only thing motivating them, and that's a huge motivation. So let's take the Pelicans +5 and +165. We have Denver -7 to finish off. The other game, Celtics-Miami. I don't want any parts of this. I mean, I guess Miami if you want to do the zigzag theory, but I mean, you know, the Celtics won by 90 the last game, it seems like. It's weird. When the Celtics care and they play and they're playing well, the game's over within like 5 minutes. But then if you know they're not going to lose, they're going to lose. So I kind of like, if I was going to lean, I would definitely take Miami +10.5. That's a huge number. But they could also lose by 50. It's just hard without Jimmy Butler. Anyway, now we'll get into, so those are the Monday bombs. It's just 2 bombs. New Orleans Pelicans +5, Denver -7. Now let's get into Tuesday and Wednesday's game 4s and 5s. Gentlemen sweeps, brush them up. And we'll start off with the Sixers. You're right, Sierra. All right, Sierra. We'll get into it. I'll put your comment back up there, you jerk. I hate these Sixers. I'm a Philly fan. They do this shit every fucking year. Every year the Sixers do this. And I'll start it off with this, with Joel Embiid. And it's why he's extremely frustrating. Joel Embiid's body is not meant to play 100 games up and down the court like that. It just doesn't happen. It can't happen. It breaks down every single year. When he was drafted, he didn't play his first 2 years. His first 2 years, complete calendar years, he was injured. Then when he plays, and when he does play, he's an MVP, and he's a legit MVP. He didn't con anyone. And like, oh, and then it comes into playoffs, and he's worn down in the playoffs. He just came off surgery like a couple weeks ago. That being said, his comments and demeanor every fucking time makes it hard to defend. Now he's angry. Now he's upset with Knicks fans. Now they should have been up 2-0. He guaranteed a win in the series with his head down facing his shoes. If you can't even look at the camera with your guarantee, we're not going to buy it. Oh, yeah, you know, that I love the Philly fans, but it's disappointing, you know, when there's New York fans in the crowd. And I will say this, and I have been saying how Knicks fans are the worst. Here's the thing. It's been so long with Knicks fans that I forgot how insufferable they are. They are insufferable. They're loud. But they're like Yankee fans without the championships. They're just loud and obnoxious, and they're the fucking Knicks, who haven't won since 1971? And God forbid they get any taste of success. They're so obnoxious. And yes, they came down to Philly. That's what they would do when they were good. New York fans, Met fans would come down to Philly. Giant fans. New York, that's what New York fans do. They travel because they're rich and loud and obnoxious. That's the thing. Like, well, Philly fan, you're getting overtaken. I do like when... And then you get analysts and ex-millionaires, players complain about, well, you shouldn't let that happen. Don't sell your tickets. If you don't know who you're selling your tickets to. And you're gonna sell these playoff tickets. They're worth a lot of money. They're paying for the season tickets. How about when Wilbon and Kendrick Perkins ripped on Miami Heat fans for not showing up? Fuck you. You haven't paid to go to a game in 30 years. What do you know about how much it costs to bring a family of four to a game? Family of four or whatever. You know how fucking expensive these things are? Just one night out? You going to tell these people not to sell the tickets? Well, New York fans they travel well. First of all, New York to Philly doesn't travel at all. And second of all, yeah, they'll buy it up because they haven't won in 1,000 years. God damn it, it is so annoying. And that's the problem. I like this Knicks team. I like the players. I like Jalen Brunson, even though Jalen Brunson is a mini James Harden the way he draws contact. But that's the NBA. I can't even fault him for that. Embiid does the same thing. He gets contact. And I like Brunson. I like DiVincenzo. I like all the Villanova guys. I like the way they play. But their fans are fucking absolutely disgusting. No, I know. And that's what I mean. Embiid is very hard to defend. As Serial says, crying. They're not the reason why they lost. But but he's asked about them. That's not how you answer. That's not how you answer the question. They do make a certain noise, those Knicks fans. Look, the fuck. It just. Whoa, the pop, they call it. The New York pop. Holy fuck, are they obnoxious. Oh, they're a smart basketball fan base. Yes, DJ Ronnie Pasco with the tweet right there. Galveston, Texas, better than Nick fans. Oh, we got Plunk and we got Spunk. This series was over after game two, to be honest with you. Once game two ended with a complete assault and battery at the last minute of the game, and the refs just giving it to the Knicks and admitting it afterwards that they fucked up and didn't call fouls or grant timeouts. But hey, we got caught up in the Garden, the Mecca of basketball, the Garden. Shut the fuck up. Embiid will definitely hear it in New York. You're right about that, Ciro. They need enemies. They need villains. And Embiid is playing a role. Taking out Mitchell Robinson. Oh my God. First of all, he didn't hurt Mitchell Robinson's ankle when he went. Mitchell Robinson's other ankle got hurt. The one that's been surgically repaired. But it is what it is. Nick Nurse, what are you doing not giving Embiid any rest in the second half? Well, that 1 4 minutes when he went down, we were -8. Okay, it's not going to be good when he's on the bench, but it's not going to be good if he can't move, which he couldn't do. He had no rebounds, like in two points in the fourth quarter because he's playing 43 minutes. He just came off surgery. What are you doing? The rest of the series, he was, except for that one game three when they won, when he scored 50, he's worthless after the first quarter. You need a fucking rest. Problem with this, though, I do kind of get, once he sits, he's like me, my old age. Once I sit, yeah, getting back up's the tough part. If I'm up moving around, that's fine. But once you sit down, nope. Once you take that nap, you're out. Anyway. So, point is, I've seen enough. Embiid is not healthy. It gets worse as it goes on. He had a great game. He's not going to be able to keep going. The Knicks aren't even playing that great. They scored, what, 97 points yesterday? Yeah, Jalen Brunson scored 50. The two games where Jalen Brunson went off, 3 and 4, the Sixers won game 3 and easily could have won game 4 if they didn't shoot 36%. Whatever, doesn't matter. Joel Embiid, I don't know if he could last a full game on fucking the Big 3 with Ice Cube's league, let alone an NBA playoff game. And so with Buddy Hield not even be able to see the court, Tobias Harris doing what Tobias Harris does, collect money.
565.
I mean, they're doing nothing out there. It's insane. What is that playing? Am I playing something? I know I am playing something, but I don't know how to stop it. We're going to bomb. No, there it is. We're going to bomb the New York Knicks to finish off the Sixers. And I know I gave out a Sixers series price at the beginning. Listen, they had their chance. That game 2 was a disaster. Yeah, they could have won game 4. First of all, I knew they were going to lose game 4 yesterday. The Sunday afternoon games are never good for Philly. They just don't do Sunday afternoon games. The Knicks are used to that shit. There used to be a famed game where Allen Iverson used to hang out at the TGI Fridays on 3rd and Front Street, or 2nd and Front, I believe it is, on South Street, right off of South Street. And then, because he had all, it was famous. He loved TGI Fridays. And he had all his friends and cousins and shit work there, get jobs there. So needless to say, it was not the best service. But he would always see Allen Iverson in there. And one time there was a famous game. It was like a 12:30 noon tip-off game. 12:30 tip-off game. And he was there. Eating his chicken fingers, having a crew, like at 11:40. We're watching the warm-ups on TV, and Allen Iverson's in there. Like, buddy, shouldn't you be at the stadium? Yeah, I got it. And he took off. Next thing you know, we're watching TV. We just saw him. Next thing you know, he's on the court. Jumps in the layup line. Quick layup. Bing, bango. Scored 40 points. He's Bubba Chuck. He's Allen Iverson, baby. These Sixers do not have that kind of heart. These Sixers will go down. And congratulations. I submit to the New York Knicks and to their fans. God, I hate that combination. That's the problem. I would love to just turn on these Sixers, and I have. Get rid of them. But my hatred for these Knicks fans might be even more. It's a tough battle I'm in. There's no winning. There's no winning in this situation. Go T-Wolves. Anyway, all right, let me do a quick read here about, well, we already did Underdog. I think we skipped through all that. Oh, this is where I just put in my regular old ads. So let's do a quick beat pause. And we're back here on the Bottom Line Bombs. You see what I did there? That was a little peek behind the curtain, live fans watching on YouTube right now in the chat room. Serial Ronnie Pasco, Channing Brown, Captain Insano, ML, everybody who's here in the chat room. I appreciate it watching live. Go ahead and hit that thumbs up. Hit that like button if you do like the Man in the Box, the Bet Detective. You know what? I usually tell you I don't care if you actually do like me. Just hit the thumbs up anyway. Now I want you to meet it. I don't want you Dan Orlovsky-ing me, getting you slept on it, and all of a sudden you got a new opinion because your boss has told you so. But what's not to like? Look at the thumbnail I created. You see the man in the box's face there on the chimney sweep? He's sweeping the chimney, and he's got the champagne because it's the gentleman sweep. That's what he is. The gentleman sweep where they win in 5. And the gentleman sweep, if you don't know, it's a new, kind of a newer term, where one team wins the first 3 games, and then they allow the 4th game for the team to win at home for their crowd, and then they finish them off in 5. That's a gentleman sweep. That's what the Nuggets will do tonight. They won the first 3 games. They allowed the Lakers to get their little show at home, and then they'll finish them off tonight. So it's not quite the same with the Knicks Sixers because the Sixers won game 3. You have to win the first 3 games to make it a gentleman sweep, even though the Knicks will win in 5 now. And they'll win in 5. These Sixers team just breaks the fuck down. Enough. I can't even talk about them anymore. They're tilting me. A couple more NBA games and some hockey bombs, too. And then we'll do a man in the box and we'll get out of here. but we are doing well. Thank you, everybody, who is watching live. What are the other games going on Tuesday and Wednesday? Oh, here we go. We have Pacers-Bucks. This is an interesting series. Everyone liked the Pacers to begin with before Giannis was rolled out. Once Giannis was rolled out, it was a coin flip. And then you had, they split the first two games. And then you had game three, was very, very entertaining game three. Back and forth, home affair. Middleton hit two three ball, a three to send it to overtime to bad beat any under bets. And then he did another one, end of regulation, then he hit another one to tie it up before Halliburton hit the game winner. But that was two times in a row where the Pacers were up three and they didn't just fucking foul the guy. It's not fun to watch making a free throw games, but that's what you do. Well, we'll see if he can hit a three. It's the NBA. They can hit a three, and they most likely will. Put them on the line. When you put them on the line, they have to do like four different things. They have to make the first free throw. They have to miss the second one intentionally. They have to, as we found out in the Sixers game yesterday, they have to tell their teammates that they are going to miss intentionally so they're ready for the rebound. Kyle Lowry missed a free throw on purpose yesterday pretty incredibly. It was one of the best intentionally missed free throws I've ever seen. Tipped it back out, and Maxey's just sitting there. Oh, were you going to miss that? I didn't know. Sorry. My bad. Hey, give me a heads up next time if you're going to do that, and I'll look alive, and I'll try to get that ball. It would have been perfect, but it went right to Jalen Brunson. Eh, well, what are you going to do? Anyway, so you got to do that, and then they got to hit another shot. And the Pacers just don't believe in that, I guess. And then the Bucks almost pulled that game out. And then he had game four yesterday. No Dame Lillard. No Giannis. Middleton was banged up. And Bobby Portis is like, fuck it. I'm getting out of here, too. I'm part of this crew. And he gets in a fight. And the second gets kicked out. What are you doing? You're the only guy we have left. It's almost like he felt like, hey, I'm a star, too. I want to be part of the stars and not play this game. And the Bucks played well. They fought hard. They didn't cover. They lost by 13 eventually, but that's the NBA. But they played hard all game. Good for them. Now, will the Pacers finish them off in game five? The line is 3.5. Obviously, it's huge if Lillard plays or not. I don't care. I think Doc Rivers, C-Generates, listen to this. Doc Rivers is flipping the script. Doc Rivers is known for blowing the 3-1 lead. It's his staple. His claim to fame. It's like his trademark. If there's a 3-1 series to blow, Doc Rivers will do it. This time, they're down 3-1, and they have no chance with all the players being injured. I think Doc reverses it and comes back from 3-1. Only to lose game seven at home. He'll pull his own little Doc twist on it. That being said, I like the Bucks plus 140 on the money line, getting 3.5, bomb it. So we have Knicks -4, Bucks +3.5. Then we have this Orlando-Cleveland series. That's game five. This is the only one that's a series, apparently. It's 2-2, and none of us have seen it. I'm not even sure if this is actually happening. Is this on Tubi? Where are these games being broadcast? They just show these scores. Oh, the Cavs are up 20. Oh, now they're down 20. What is this, a fucking NBA live game being played by two teenagers? It's on NBA TV. Then it goes switches over to True TV if some special about Wilt Chamberlain comes on. So you can't convince me this is real, this series. But it's one of those classic home teams protect home court. Neither can win on the road. It's kind of like the Tour de France. There was years where I didn't believe the Tour de France was real. I mean, I know it was real at one point. But I just don't think, and I'm sure it is real. I'm sure it's occurring every year. But I think the footage they show is like from same stock footage they show, just, you know, bikes being rode in the French mountain somewhere from the 80s, Miguel Indurain and all that shit, Greg LeMond, before we even got to Lance Armstrong. And they just showed the same fucking B-roll footage every year. And we're like, okay, there it is. There's the Tour de France, I guess. I don't know. There's no way I could prove if that's accurate. The same thing with this Cavs-Orlando series. okay, I guess that's the score. If you say so, NBA, that's what happened. So whatever the simulated score is on this one, we're going to take the Cavs -4.5 only because home teams seem to be winning. They'll bounce back. But Orlando does have some. We have Orlando in the series play. I'd like to see them win because if you're going to get a game five, get on a road game, this is the one to get. But we'll take the Cavs -4.5. And the final game is Clippers-Mavericks. What a game that was yesterday. The Clippers were up 31 and did the Clippers things and tried to blow it. The Mavs came all the way back, took the lead. Kyrie Irving was amazing. Luka Doncic, not so much, even though he got a triple-double with 29 points. He was 1-for-9 from three. If he just hit a couple of those, they win the game. But I think he's hurt. He's been dealing with things. So I don't know what to do. And it's so weird. Kawhi Leonard, obviously not ready to play. Kawhi Leonard, just a shorter Joel Embiid almost, without the complaining. Kawhi Leonard doesn't complain. Kawhi Leonard doesn't do anything. Kawhi Leonard doesn't whine. He doesn't speak. But he is a beast when he's healthy. He's not healthy. He's never healthy. I don't know what is going on with that knee, but it's tragic. They threw him out there. Did you see the one play? He dunked the ball. Then he hung on the rim for like a minute and a half because he was just terrified of coming down. Like a kid on the jungle gym. Like once you climb all the way up and you look down like, oh God, how am I going to get down from here? He's like, if I land, my knee is just going to shoot right out of my fucking socket. Like when Embiid dunked the ball in that game one or whatever that was and would collapse. Like, that's what you get for dunking the ball. That being said, so without Leonard, I'm not saying they play better, but they would use the size on them. And they were Jason Kidd, not looking good as a coach, making a fucking adjustment. James Harden floaters all day. You're letting James Harden act like he's on the Rockets. But I will say this. If you know one thing about James Harden, he doesn't do this shit back to back anymore. So I want to take the Mavericks -2.5 to do game five. And Luka to bounce back, even though he might not be healthy. But now that he's saying it out loud, that means he will. You fade him. Give me these Mavs -2.5. Bomb it. So there you go. See, generous. There's your NBA game five gentlemen sweep and sweep bombs alike. You have New Orleans Pelicans tonight, +5. And a money line 165. Nuggets -7 for the gentleman's sweep. And then tomorrow, Tuesday and Wednesday, we have Knicks -4, Bucks +3.5, Cleveland -4.5, Dallas -2.5. Play all those bombs. Play all the bombs you want. There's also ice bombs. I did promise some hockey bombs. Why not? Boy, I took a bad beat in hockey. Let me see if I can get it. Do I have a hockey noise? I don't think I do. I have to get the Blades of Steel fucking theme song or something. Maybe DJ Ronnie Pascal could help me out, the DJ. Who wants to know, was that Russian music? No, it was that UFC music accidentally played. That was, yes, it is kind of Russian. Anyway. Yeah, the bomb sound effect is back, Ronnie Pasco. It's a much different than the Bombenheimer, my remote one. You get one of those, Ronnie. That's for all those NBA bombs. Hockey bombs, we'll keep this short and sweet. Took a bad beat with Nashville yesterday. I had Nashville -125. They were up 3-1. They gave up 2 empty net goals. And then Vancouver tied it up. There was 2 minutes to go. They scored 1 empty netter. Then they scored one with like 3 seconds to go to send into overtime. Then they won immediately in overtime. And the Predators had a chance at an empty net and it hit the post. Whatever. That hockey's weird sometimes. But that was one of the worst bad beats I've ever had. They're up 3-1. It was over. Vancouver has shown they want no parts of winning this series. They had 12 shots on goal game three. They won. They don't even know how they're winning these games. Like, Nashville, will you please try to win? They won't. They get another chance, game five. I don't know what to do. Nashville's a much better team. Not much better team. They're playing better. But Vancouver just keeps winning. I'm going to stay away from that. Let's get into, there's two games I do want to focus in on. You have Colorado, Winnipeg. I was just in Winnipeg. They have great fans. They love their Jets, the Winnipeg Jets. They're the Winnipeg Jet fans, and I was just in Winnipeg, great city, middle of nowhere. People shit on it, but they're a good blue-collar drink. They get after it. One guy at our comedy show talked shit to some other guys who were, I think they were indigenous. He might have said something slurry about indigenous, and they went and beat the living brakes out of this guy, and he had his face split open. This is at our comedy show. Afterwards, obviously, outside. Then he came back in, mad about security not helping out. We're not fucking helping you. Are we crazy? Call you a fucking ambulance. That's what you could use. Yeah, you're right. And they apologized. They still apologized. Anyway, they get drunk and they get after it. Winnipeg fans, they love their fucking Jets. One of our shows was in the middle of the game, game three. Not ideal. People are checking their phones, watching the game on their phones. Hey, can you turn off your phone? It's okay. I'm just watching the Jets. Oh, all right. I didn't know that. Like he was waiting for, like, you know, his wife giving birth news or something. Oh, you're just watching the Jets? No big deal. Just checking in on them. But those are the fans, you know, they, you know, the whole whiteout thing where all the fans would wear white t-shirts. The Winnipeg fans, they created that and they didn't need free t-shirts to do it. They word just got out. Hey, everyone wear white. And they did years ago. They're awesome. That being said, they're getting the living brakes beat out of them by Colorado right now. And they play tomorrow. It's only minus 120, minus 118 for Colorado. We're going to hammer the Lanch to finish these Jets off. Winnipeg's got nothing for them anymore. They won that first game 7-6, but that's it. It's over. Colorado is just literally an avalanche. We're going to bomb that. But this is what I heard up there in Canada, folks. And this is how I always feel bad for Canadian teams in the NHL playoffs. So you have Winnipeg, Toronto, Vancouver, Edmonton. Edmonton's starting to win, going to win. Toronto is about to lose to Boston. Toronto is having a lot of problems. They're fighting with each other. They're telling each other, quit crying, this ain't junior hockey. They're a mess. They're like 1-8 in their last fucking home playoff games or something. They're a disaster. They're going to Boston tomorrow, minus 154. Matter of fact, if you parlay Boston, Colorado, to both finish them off, I like it. Let's bomb that. Boston's only minus 155 right now. I would still lay it. The Bruins are winning. There's no way. I mean, there's a way. Toronto wants out of this thing. Toronto's the worst. Toronto's the opposite fans of Winnipeg. Toronto, if you don't know, they're like, Toronto's a weird city where they think they're this international city. You know, they think they're New York. They think they're fucking Tokyo. You're comparable to Chicago, but you're not even that because you're jerks. You're real pompous. Anyway. So their home ice is not even good because it's all elitist there. No real hockey fans. They're all up in the cheap seats. But anyway, the Bet Detective heard a conspiracy in Winnipeg where they say the commissioner, Gary Bettman, wants American teams to win the Stanley Cup. So they don't want any Canadian teams to win, you know, to help the ratings and to help the growth of the league in American cities. Which, I mean, I like a good conspiracy theory. The Bet Detective's on all of that. I can get behind it. Makes little sense. I don't know what Bettman's going to do to make you guys choke in the playoffs every year. I will say this, American teams and fan bases could care less. We're rooting for Canadian team. We want a Canadian team to win. We feel guilty when we win. The Stanley Cup doesn't belong in Carolina. We know that. We don't know what the fuck's good. We don't know what the hell it is. We're like, go ahead. We don't even know what's going on. They have to tell us the rules on the Jumbotron. All right, what's icing? Dallas gets told what icing is every year. Nashville, they love their Predators, but it's just because they stumbled in off, it's on Broadway. It's off the street. They were just at fucking Rootin' Tootin's or Bob's Country and Western Bar, and they stumbled into this arena. Oh, what's this? It's cold in here. I like it. Let's drink. So the Bet Detective sniffed it out. If they, if, and I don't think there's any conspiracy to have American teams win the Stanley Cup. I think, well, one, there's a lot more American teams, obviously. And they're not American players. The fan base is, I mean, it is what it is. But if they believe it, why not? They believe it. So we're going to bomb Colorado and we're going to bomb Boston. Those are my two ice bombs. To get Winnipeg and Toronto out of there, bet the tech conspiracies on. Speaking of conspiracies, let's get to the box. We're getting late here. And we lock in, and I have my T-Wolf hat on. I lost him. This hat, by the way, I made a bet. Someone made a bet. If the T-Wolves sweep, I have to wear this hat in the box, and I am. I'm wearing a Minnesota Timberwolves hat. Good for them. I root for the Timberwolves. I like Anthony Edwards. I like that whole team. It's great. It's a size 8, which is a monster hat. That's what the fan assumed that my head was, a size 8. It's not too far off, but it's a little bigger. The hat is a little bigger, not the head. Let me see. See, it's kind of loose. You know what? I mean, I could fit into an 8. You know, like when you have shoes that don't really fit, but you want someone's giving you free shoes. Like, I can fit into a size 12, and like your fucking toes are flapping around. It's actually not that, it's not flapping around this hat, which is upsetting that a size 8 can possibly fit my fucking enormous monster Irish head. Look at it. It doesn't even look bad. Go T-Wolves. Anyway, we are in the box. Bet Detective solving ice conspiracies. And now I need to conclude. I've been teasing the ghost doctor story. I got to wrap this up. This is from now 2 weeks ago. I told you, just to give you a recap, this is a crime documentary podcast. I should be recording live as we go on, trying to find the ghost doctor. When I was sick a couple months ago and I was in the hospital with a pneumonia with my lungs, I got a pulmonary doctor, as I fixed my hat. It was a lung, fancy word for lung doctor, who treated me to some, drainage and expiratory things. And then once I left, I got discharged. I was supposed to make an appointment with him. I could not. Closed his number, just went right to voicemail. I stopped by the address that was listed. It was an abandoned apartment. Nowhere to be found. This is the recap on the last episode of The Ghost Doctor. 5 1-star Yelp reviews. Yeah, same thing happened to me. I made an appointment and he just ghosted me, wouldn't show up. I called the hospital. They didn't know where he was. They didn't know who he was. I thought it was over. Just never going to find this ghost doctor. And then about a couple weeks ago, I got a phone call from USC. What? I answered it. It was the ghost doctor. CJ, how are you? How am I? How are you, ghost doctor? What the hell are you talking about? How am I? Where have you been? Oh, no big, I was just switching offices. So a lot of things got confused, but I just got your voicemail. What do you mean you just got it? It was 2 months ago. Changing offices. What does that have to do with voicemail? Anyway, did you get that CT scan? Is it on a CD? He wanted the CD. No one does the CD anymore. When I got the CT scan, I asked for the CD. They're like, yeah, I guess we can give you one if you want. Yeah, this ghost doctor wants it. I didn't know he's a ghost doctor then. Well, actually, I did. I couldn't set up appointments. Because I was going to slide the CD underneath his fucking door. That's what the one secretary told me to do. Slide it under the door. See what happens. Like, I'm not sliding under this door. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what kind of boiler room is going on back there. So he goes, anyway, do you want an appointment? I go, you know what? I moved on to a different doctor, but yes, I do want an appointment. I got to see where this goes, ghost doctor. And it was at USC. I showed up right before I left for the road. The day before I left for the road last week. 2 weeks ago. I go to the sec, as I check in, I go, hey, did you guys just move offices, by the way? And the receptionist is like, what? Or nurse? No. No, we've been here for years. Oh, because that's what the doctor said. Oh, well, he's a little, oh, I see. She knew exactly. Oh, I get it. He's covering his tracks because he's a fucking fraud. He does backdoor. I think he's, at one point, I go, what are you, are you selling kidneys on the fucking black market or something? You down in Mexico doing illegal procedures? Are you DiCaprio and Catch Me If You Can? Is that what you're doing? Frank Abagnale? Are you a doctor? Are you a pilot? What are you?
He's the ghost doctor.
So I came in. I showed up just for the hell of it. See what happens, even though I brought the CD. He's like, hey, how are you? He didn't have a beard. He used to have a beard. He changes his look every time. Beard completely shaven. Real life flex, says Ronnie Pasco. He is. Irwin F. Fletcher. So I give him the CD. He's gone for like 20 minutes. He leaves me in the room for 20 minutes, comes back. He says, I can't play the CD. There's some kind of chip in it. What are you talking about? But don't worry, I gave it to the tech team. The tech team, does anyone know you're here? What's going on? The entire time I go, how come the other hospital never heard of you? Then he just starts talking shit about that hospital. And then he blames the hospital for having the wrong address and wrong number. Now he abandoned the whole I'm switching offices story and just blamed the hospital. You know what? That's the wrong number. The hospital never should have gave you that wrong address. What? Yeah, that stupid hospital. Okay. Now that's on you to tell them if they have the wrong information. That being said, fine, doc, let's go. So then he starts giving me, that gel thing. I'm not going to get another scan. I go, here's the CT scan. I finally got the disc open. He's like, oh, I see some fluid here. I'm like, yeah, great. That was like 2 months ago. I'm sure it's not up to date. He says, I'm going to get another doctor for you. Almost as a bonus, because he ghosted me, he brought in a second doctor to take a look at some fucking gel x-ray thing. Anyway. He gave me semi-good news, bad news. I grabbed his cell phone. I go, I'm not leaving here without all the information from you. I need it right from you. He gave me a card, and it peeled off like Abagnale, like a fucking, or in The Fugitive, when Harrison Ford faked an ID badge to get in the hospital, and Tommy Lee Jones peels it off. Where are you, Harwardo, So I got his card, I got his cell phone number, and then yesterday, I got a suspicious-looking package in the mail. A yellow folder with a Sharpie written all weird. I didn't recognize the address. And it just looked like evidence you give in a parking garage, like a deep throat kind of situation. It was my CD of the CT scan that he sent back personally. What were you doing with my information, ghost doctor? My chest x-ray information. Selling it on the market, I bet. That's how these people operate. These shiesty characters. Can't say I'm not even mad, to be honest with you. I like a good hustle. So is that the last I'm going to see of the ghost doctor? Maybe, maybe not. I know I have his phone number. I'd like to just continue. Not even a professional relationship, just some kind of personal. Maybe if I can be an intern, who knows? Get in on his con job, whatever it is. I'm certainly not going to let him operate. Not that I need operation, but you never know if I will. Anyway, that's going to do it for the man in the box. Thank you, everybody, who joined us today. We're going late here in the show. Just in time, JC from KC says, what's up, CJ and C-Generates? Sorry if you came in late, JC. But as you know, this show goes live in about, you can listen to the broadcast right now on YouTube, of course. If you're watching on YouTube, it's already out there. But if you are listening on iTunes, Spotify, I know you're subscribed to the Bottom Line Bombs. It'll be out there soon for perpetuity. You can listen to it. You'll definitely play it back. Absolutely, JC. Make sure you subscribe to the Bottom Line Bombs and tell about 50,000 of your friends to do it. We need to get going, especially when we're getting a nice playoff heater as we go. Follow me on Instagram at CJ Sullivan Was Taken or on X at CJ Sullivan _. You'll get all the shows and information with that. I'll talk about that stuff later. Oh my God, so much going on. And now I'm getting lunch menu orders. Follow all the other shows in SGP. We got a UFL show coming up after this. If you want more of the Bet Detective, the Laddie Daddy, Man in a Box, I will be with Picks Dundee and J Mark as we do the UFL recap and power ranking show. It's always a fun show because those UFL fans on Reddit, they are fierce and they come after us. So then we go right back at them. Anyway, that's going to do it for today's show. Like, subscribe, all the things you can say. I don't know. I hate doing the plugging thing, especially when I'm out of energy. Anyway, thank you for everyone who watched on live. And we are going to see you Thursday for the Kentucky Derby Show. If Harlem don't get them first, send them down to unemployment, cause homie gon' get this work. Right. Hot bins, every honey gets top 10. If she hops in, then more than likely we not friends. Look, I'm locked in. Hit you like Skelly, your top spin. First I pop, then I'm out like Pirelli's on stock rims. Fires in the game, still applying the pain. Since Milk was top villain and Light was riding the train. These paper thin villains get scraped and thrown in the flame. 85% of rappers is fake and so is they chain. Now that's a no-brainer, 36 in my chamber. Now I'm moment of silence, I throw a L up a banger. Lyrics is not a singer, don't ever forget his gangster. The ladies, they get the thumbs up, coppers just get the finger. My vision getting clearer, I'm looking in the mirror. I'm saying to myself, that's a fly.